was very kind of her. I'm actually a new doctoral student. I just got my master's degree, so.
Technically, I was right.
Just forward-looking.
Yes. So today I'll be talking about the prevalence and correlates of past year acute behavioral health care utilization. And I'll be obtaining my results from the 2008 National Survey on Drug Use and Health. I'm from the Department of Mental Health Law and Policy at the Florida Mental Health Institute of the University of South Florida. And I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Dr. Richard Van Dorn and Dr. Scott Young. And as I mentioned earlier, I'm also a new doctoral student at the Department of Community and Family Health at the College of Public Health at the University of South Florida. As I mentioned before, I have no financial disclosures to relate or disclose. So I'd like to start this presentation by offering a definition of what is acute behavioral care. Acute behavioral care is distinct from outpatient or ambulatory care and just in the high level of need by persons experiencing a mental health and or substance use disorders. They are also separate, typically, from routine outpatient services, and that they're typically delivered in inpatient or residential or hospital or emergency room facilities. Acute behavioral health care is important because it's costly both to the individual and to society. Acute care for both mental health and or substance use disorders can often function as an impediment to an individual's recovery and offer financial hardships to an individual's work or life or family relationships. Moreover, acute care is costly to society and that it is typically much more expensive than care that might have been delivered on an outpatient or ambulatory basis. The purpose of the study was twofold. First, it was to examine whether those with different types of behavioral health disorder differ in their likelihood of acute behavioral health care use. So for this study, I divide up different behavioral health disorders as in individuals who had a substance use disorder only, those who had a mental health disorder only, those who had a severe mental health disorder, as well as individuals who had co-occurring of those different groups. The second purpose of this study was that to look at among those who actually used acute behavioral health care in the past year, do the types of services differ by these different behavioral health groupings? And for the type of acute care we looked at was individuals who received care for mental health needs only, individuals who received care for substance use needs only, or individuals who received both. The data source from the study came from the 2008 National Survey on Drug Use and Health, which is a nationally representative survey of U.S. households. It measures the prevalence and correlates of drug use in the United States, and the correlates of primary interest in this study include mental health disorders, as well as healthcare utilization. The NISDA measures both minors and adults, and for the 2008 data, it contained roughly 55,000 cases. However, for this study, we were only interested in adults who had any past year behavioral health disorder. So there was roughly 38,000 adults, and of these, 10,000, or roughly 26%, had any behavioral health disorder. The main outcome examined for the study was the presence or absence of any acute care for behavioral health needs. This acute care, as I mentioned earlier, could be for both mental health or substance use disorders. And the facilities we examined that with inpatient or residential facilities, hospital or emergency rooms. The NISDA contains a variety of questions that were used to develop these behavioral health groupings, and I have them kind of set up in this table here. For individuals who had a substance use disorder only, we included individuals in that category for persons who had abuse or dependence for a drug or alcohol or some combined disorder. This substance use disorder only was measured by DSM-4 criteria, or questions that were meant to mirror DSM-4 criteria. We also made a distinction of non-severe mental health illnesses, which could include individuals who had a depression and or an anxiety disorder. Depression was assessed through items meant to mirror DSM-4 criteria, and anxiety was assessed by an item that stated, have you had a physician tell you that you had an anxiety disorder in the past year? The severe mental illness was actually an indicator variable that was developed by the NISDA and included two assessments. One was a measure of past year psychological distress that was assessed through the K6 instrument. And the other was an accompanying measure of functional impairment due to psychological distress. This was assessed by two separate instruments administered in a split sample. I believe one was the World Health Organization Disability Assessment Scale, if I have that correct, and also the Sheehan Disability Scale. And both of those measures were used to create the indicator variable. With these combinations of groups, we made a series of mutually exclusive groups, such that we had substance use disorders only, non-severe mental health only, severe mental health only, and then two co-occurring groups that include the non-severe mental health with substance use, as well as the severe mental health with substance use disorders. The independent variables we used to examine past year acute care for behavioral health needs were guided by Anderson's behavioral model of healthcare utilization, which supposes that there's predisposing factors, enabling factors, and need factors that all relates to an individual's likelihood to utilize healthcare. So for this study, the healthcare utilization referred to acute behavioral healthcare. And predisposing factors examined included a series of demographic variables, an overall health status indicator, the behavioral health disorders, which I just went over in the previous slide, as well as past year criminal justice interaction. Enabling factors examined for this study included outpatient behavioral health treatment, as well as health insurance status. Now, the need factors that would be relevant for this examination included an individual's level of substance use, as well as their level of psychological distress. And these kind of concepts were embedded in the behavioral health disorder groupings, so there was no need factors examined in this study. A series of chi-square analyses were first examined to look at the associations between the predisposing and enabling variables as well as it relates to past year acute care for behavioral health needs. And due to the large number of tests, a Bonferroni correction was employed to control for the family-wise error rate. And I should mention that all these analyses were conducted using the NISA-created sample weight. For our main thrust of study analyses, we ran a multivariable logistic regression model that included the predisposing and enabling variables that I went over in the previous two slides. However, it's important to note that outpatient behavioral health treatment variables were not included in the model. The reason for this is all these data are based upon self-report, and it doesn't specify whether they received outpatient care first, which then preceded the acute care, or where the acute care precipitated their outpatient treatment. And as such, those variables are not included in the model. We also ran a series of analyses looking for issues of multicollinearity, and there was found to be an association between income status and insurance status. And as such, insurance status was included in the model as opposed to income due to the primary importance of insurance as it relates to healthcare utilization. And finally, to answer our second question, another chi-square analysis was conducted to determine whether those with these different behavioral health disorder groupings, whether they differed in the type of acute behavioral health care they utilize. And again, this was looked at in a three-pronged level such that it could be acute care for mental health needs only, substance use needs only, or the reporting of both types of care. Overall, less than 5% of our sample utilized acute care for behavioral health needs in the past year. What I have here presented is an actual, the percentages and rates of care divided up in the different groupings. What you'll note here is that individuals who had a substance use disorder only, as compared to those with a non-severe mental health, had a roughly similar rate at around 3%. However, as you go down the tiers, you see that individuals with a severe mental health had a much greater percentage, as well as individuals who had co-occurring had an even higher. And I should add that chi-square analyses show that these were statistically significant differences. Next, examining the bivariate associations between predisposing factors and the past year acute care, we see that many of the demographic variables were significantly associated. Such that having an African-American race, having less than a high school education, earning less than $20,000 a year, being single, and having a poor, fair overall health status was related or associated with any past year acute care for behavioral health needs. As I have bolded here, you can also see that individuals with a severe mental illness, those with co-occurring disorders, and individuals with past year criminal justice involvement were also more likely to utilize acute care for behavioral health needs. Examining enabling factors, we see that individuals, not surprisingly, who lacked insurance and presumably did not receive outpatient care were more likely to utilize acute care. Also, individuals who received outpatient treatment were more likely to receive any care, past year care for acute care for behavioral health needs. For this variable, we actually had a tiered system such that it was no care, professional treatment only, which included a psychologist or psychiatrist, non-professional treatment, which included peer support services, and then a combination. And individuals receive any form of care, either professional, non-professional, both, were more likely to receive acute care. Looking at our multivariable model, those predisposing enabling variables earlier, they were still significant in the model. So I would like to instead focus on the behavioral health disorders and the past year criminal justice involvement, which were the much larger odds ratio in the model. As we were only looking at people who had any care disorder, we had to decide a reference group for our odds ratios, and we selected an individual with a non-severe mental health to serve as a reference group. And similar to the bivariate results, you see that there's a non-statistically significant difference between those with non-severe and those with substance use disorders and their likelihood of receiving any past year acute care. However, you'll note that individuals with severe mental health disorders and those with co-occurring disorders were more likely to receive acute care. And not surprisingly, individuals with a severe mental health disorder and co-occurring disorder were the most likely to receive acute care for behavioral health needs. I would also note that individuals who had any past year criminal justice interaction were also significantly more likely to receive care for acute care needs. So this brings us to the second question, saying, well, examining that group of individuals who received any past year acute care, did they differ in the type of care they received by the different behavioral health disorders? For the most part, individuals received disorder-specific care such that, for example, individuals who only had a substance use disorder in the past year, 68% of them received substance use disorder care only. What's interesting to note, though, is there was some fairly large discrepancies. As you can see from this slide, roughly a quarter of all the persons who only reported having a substance use disorder, a quarter of them received care for mental health, acute care for mental health care needs. Similarly, you can see similar proportions such that a sizable minority of those with non-severe mental health needs as well as severe mental health needs only received acute care for substance use disorders. We also want to look at saying, well, we have a group of individuals who have co-occurring substance use and mental health disorders, and we might expect them to experience care for both mental health care and substance use disorders need. However, only a small percentage of individuals receive care for both needs. It's difficult to interpret this because while someone might have had both disorders within a period, particular year, they might not overlap. Or even if they do overlap, it's not clear whether they presented with both needs when they went into treatment. Alternatively, this could also suggest that they may have done so, but did not receive integrated treatment for their needs. Overall, we see that acute behavioral health care, not surprisingly, was related to have individuals having a severe mental illness versus a non-severe mental illness, and was also significantly associated with individuals who had co-occurring disorders. Also, having past year criminal justice involvement was also associated with past year acute care for behavioral health needs. The primary limitation of the study was the inability to include outpatient behavioral health treatment in the study model. And this was more or less of a chicken and egg situation where you wouldn't be able to determine which came first. Also importantly, the sampling frame only included individuals who were stably housed in the United States. And this precluded persons who were in institutional facilities, such as jails or prisons, as well as individuals who are homeless. And then also, these data are based upon self-report, which which is, as mentioned earlier, is subject to recall bias and a variety of other issues. Overall, the results for the study point to the need for targeted interventions to improve the receipt of outpatient care for mental health and substance use needs, such that acute care may be avoided. And as mentioned earlier, acute care is both costly in terms to the individual as well as to society. Findings also point to the need to promote the integration of mental health and substance use disorders treatment. As I mentioned earlier, there's a variety of potential implications for what this finding could mean, but it's likely that a sizable percentage of that orange pie chart presented with both care needs and didn't receive. And finally, the strong association between past year criminal justice involvement and acute care points to the need to facilitate community transitions for individuals who are leaving jails or prison to set them out with appropriate outpatient care so that they can avoid such acute care facilities. Here are my references. And I would also like to acknowledge the College of Public Health at the University of South Florida, who provided funding for my travel for this presentation today. Thank you.